future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Belmer, Cam Smith, and Brian McDonald.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Quit it now!
Welcome in, hour number two of the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, Sean Mapes, and John Belmer with you here until 11 o'clock. Coming up, Mount Rushmore Plus One at 10:30. So we'll have some fun with that here in just a little bit. But right now, let's talk some college football, because college football actually has already kicked off. There's been some lower-level action already. William & Mary had a crazy comeback. We might mention that later in the show, some of the details of that. But before we get into some hot takes from The Athletic, weigh in a little buy or sell on some of these hot takes from The Athletic for the college football season coming up. First game of the, like, the first, like, big game of the season, we got, well, two unranked teams, but you know what I mean.
It's FBS.
It's FBS, yeah. North Carolina and TCU going down in Dublin today, right as we go off the air at 11 o'clock. And luckily, Sean, you and I, we have a correspondent out there in Ireland for this game. Let's go live now to Irish Cam, live from TCU, North Carolina and Dublin, Ireland. Irish Cam, how's the scene for the first FBS game of the season?
It's great. The potatoes are out there. We're loving it. We're frying them up, you know? And we're excited for North Carolina and TCU.
Why are you frying up potatoes for the football game?
What else are we supposed to do with the potatoes? Can't just bring them in whole. Okay. You got to do something with them.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Mash them.
Yeah, you get a little bubble gum situation.
Sean, are you going to bring a bowl of mashed potatoes in, or would you rather have them fried up like French fries?
Do people Good tailgate point. With Good mashed point. Potatoes in Ireland, Irish Cam?
Excuse me?
Do people tailgate with mashed potatoes in Ireland, Irish Cam?
We sure don't.
All right. Irish Cam.
This isn't KFC. There's
Dublin,
no
scene for North Carolina and in TCU. Irish Cam, tough season last year for Bill Belichick. Does he need a big win today to stay off the hot seat?
He does. He needs a big win. He needs to go at least double-digit wins or he's done. He's cooked.
All right, that is Irish Cam live from Dublin, weighing in before the kickoff of TCU in North Carolina. Don't get too drunk today. I heard it's quite a scene out there, Irish Cam.
No Irish bombs for me. I'm good.
Okay, IRA Cam checking in from TCU versus.
Whoa, that is
too soon.
Yeah,
a little bit
too soon. All right. Regular Cam, quite tickled.
I don't think they call them those. And
I don't think, no, they just call them car bombs.
No, if you go to the bar, you're not supposed to say Irish car bombs. It's kind of a slight on us.
Really not.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're supposed to say that there.
You just say Irish bombs, and you're good. They know what you're talking about.
It's what we do.
It's what we do.
Win in Ireland. You know, win in Rome, you know.
Win in Ireland.
Yeah. What? Bomb some cars. All right, let's talk some college football that's not in Ireland.
We finally
today.
Get a correspondent and you offend him.
Yeah. Come on. He now. Doesn't seem offended. Like, Sean, do you think I offended Irish Cam?
No, I don't think you did.
Yeah, I don't think he did. I think he was quite tickled by it. I don't know.
I'm very tickled, Brian.
I thought, hang up on him, John. I thought we lost this connection.
Crystal clear connection.
Yeah, it's amazing how well, like, we can't talk to people in the city on the phone without it sounding scratchy, but Irish Cam, crystal clear. So bold takes from The Athletic for this college football season. Let's talk about them here. First one from a writer named Matthew Ho. Texas misses the – I knew I could get – I knew
As
I
he's taking a
that.
Sip, too.
Yeah, I know. It's like, there's no way I'm going to be able to say this without Cam having a reaction. All right. We'll try this again. 3, 2, 1. Matthew Ho from The Athletic, Cam. Texas – his hot take for the season – Texas misses the playoff and Arch Manning enters the transfer portal. After a lackluster season, instead of entering the NFL draft, he heads to Florida under John Sumrall. I feel like I need to go to Sean for first this one. Like, I could certainly see Texas missing the playoff. We talked about having 7 preseason top 25 teams on the schedule, but Arch Manning transferring to Florida? Like, Florida, like, that's where this hot take completely falls. I mean, which hot takes are supposed to be ridiculous, so fair. But, like, I can't see the Arch Manning transferring to Florida.
It would be a bad hot take if we're like, yeah, we could see it. You know,
yeah,
like,
true.
Yeah,
true.
So it does get the job done. It is, yeah, it'd have to be something where not only, it can't be like last year where they go 9-3 and miss the playoff. They have, it would have to be like a 6-6 type season of like total disaster. I don't want to think about it, so sorry.
And Art's going to Florida, considering the struggles that his Uncle Peyton had with Florida.
Can't beat him, join him.
I can't imagine him transferring.
No, let's go to you on this one, Cam, because it could support a team that you root for. From Austin Meek, the best team in Texas won't be Texas or Texas A&M. Buy or sell that hot take?
Sell?
Yeah, I mean, I was giving you a chance to pump up your Cougs.
But, I'm assuming he's referring to Texas Tech.
SMU's ranked. Houston's ranked. There's three other teams in the
Smoo's not going to do it for me. I love. Was it Willie Fritz? Right.
Yeah, Willie Fritz.
I love what he's doing at U of H. But come on, really? Texas or Texas A&M not being the best team in Texas? Like,
I mean, you can sell me on the idea that they both miss the playoffs while Tech makes it. So that would be a check mark for him in this hot take.
I mean,
even though the roster's maybe better, like it's very real possibility that A&M and Texas miss the playoffs.
I just think
Tech's toughest game is a home game against Houston.
Right, but that
doesn't mean they're better.
But I think they could win more.
They did last year. They're the four seed. I was going to say top four seed. I hate it when people go, they're a top four seed. What seed were they? Four. They're the fourth seed. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
He's a top five quarterback. What do you have him? Fifth.
I'm just going to say top 10 for everybody. Yeah. Then when you ask, it's like third. Like, yeah. Why did you just say third?
Yeah, Josh Allen, top 10 quarterback in the league. But I think that we saw it last year where Tech was the four seed and A&M was the seven, I want to say.
Because they hosted Miami was the last seed in.
Yeah. So and then there's the 11 Tulane, 12 was JMU. So yeah.
Oh, 7-10, yeah.
Yeah. So 7-10. I think the possibility is there. It's fun to think about. And, you know, I know you don't believe in your coach Willie Fritz, but you just said you think he's a bum.
Those words didn't come out of my mouth.
Historically, in year three is like the big leap year for a Willie Fritz team. So, like Brian said, they play Tech early. They win, if they're a top two team in the Big 12, they might play them late too and end up in the playoffs. So I think it's there for them. Again, it's a bold take. Like, I wouldn't say it's likely, but I can this one more likely than the other one.
All right, another one here from Matt Brown from The Athletic. Bill Belichick resigns after North Carolina loses at UConn on November 7th to fall to 2-7. Now, I assume if he has them at 2-7, that also includes losing to TCU later today in Ireland. Yeah. Like, how would it not? Like,
there's not many games they would win.
I can't see Bill Belichick. Where I would sell on this take is I don't think he'd resign midseason.
I can certainly see
him having a losing record this year and being out at the end of the year. I don't really see him resigning midseason.
I don't think the ego of
best coach ever would allow himself to resign.
I mean, he resigned from the Jets on a bar napkin.
Fair. They hadn't played a game yet. It wasn't midseason.
I know.
It was like 10 minutes after he signed with the Jets.
Yeah.
It was like 30 years ago.
I'm saying he has quit a job before.
He has quit a job.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the biggest thing is like if they're 2-7, it's like.
You have the schedule up?
Yes. Are we
going schedule game? Here we go. All right. North Carolina.
Tight.
TCU in Dublin.
Loss.
East Tennessee State at home.
Win. You
know, I'm going to give them win.
Okay. Tie.
I think it's East Tennessee. It's ETSU. Might be East Texas State. I don't know.
There's no way to know.
At Clemson.
Loss.
Home against Notre Dame.
Loss.
At Pitt.
Win.
Loss.
Oh, my God.
Okay. At Duke.
Win.
I'll give them one.
Okay.
So was that three wins?
That's three wins for me.
Three wins. Home against Syracuse.
Win.
They'll be, yeah.
They're beating Syracuse. Syracuse quarterback doesn't get hurt. On Halloween at home against Miami.
Loss.
Super loss. Two losses.
You get two L's.
At UConn. Matt Brown.
Now we've reached the point. Yes.
But you have them at four
wins. I have four wins right now.
Yeah, so we both sell the idea that they'd have two wins at the end of this game.
I mean, it's possible.
So what is that? Like 4-6 going into that game? Like, I don't think he resigns.
Yeah. I think if they're, because
if they're on the within a breath of having a bowl appearance on the line, like I don't think he resigns.
Yeah. Then
I think the move comes in the off season.
Yeah, I don't think it's bold to say that he's not the coach at the end of the season, but I think it's bold that, like you said, that he leaves in the middle of it or goes 2-7.
Another bold take here. This one from Daniel Shirley. Miami will not win the ACC by herself.
That's bold. Contenders
obviously there. Obviously SMU's ranked. Louisville's, I believe, is ranked as well. So there's not. It's not like this a conference devoid of other competitors. Obviously everyone's been down on Florida State and Clemson the last couple of years, but
Duke won the conference last year. UVA played for won.
I could see SMU winning the conference. I wouldn't buy it because I think Miami's a better team, but like if SMU won the conference, it wouldn't floor me.
No.
So I think this is a fair hot take.
Miami's literally never won the ACC. Like they've never won it.
I know they didn't win it last year. Really, they've never won it.
Since they moved, they did.
That's right. Because when they were good back in the early 2000s, they were Big East.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my god! It almost lines up perfectly with them falling off.
I forgot about the Big East.
But even they had good years.
Oh.
Yeah. Another one here. Joe Rexode. Indiana will miss the playoff. An upset loss to Washington will clinch it, but that won't be as stunning as the earlier stumble at Nebraska, with Ohio State accounting for the third loss. Kurt Cignetti is elite, but so was Fernando Mendoza, and that's simply not IU's quarterback situation in 2026. So two things here. Lose three games, Sean, but also miss the playoffs, because every team that's lost three games or more so far has missed the expanded playoff field.
Yeah, and with Indiana's schedule, especially non-conference schedule, like if you have them losing to Ohio State, Washington, and Nebraska, like,
I also got to face Michigan.
Yeah, I guess you get a win against Michigan. But, like, it's not a situation where, like, Ohio State could beat Texas, then go 9-3 and still have a case to be in. Same thing with Texas on the flip side, because their schedules are of the OU has a hard schedule. If they go 9-3, they could maybe make a case. Indiana can't make a case if they're 9-3. So that part isn't bold. I do think that we are kind of underrating Fernando Mendoza a little bit as far as, like, a undefeated Heisman-winning quarterback, number one pick, and we're like, yep, and then Josh Hoover's going to come
and do the same thing.
It's like, I don't know. Like, it feels like you're selling Mendoza short by making
had,
it
like,
seem
what,
so easy.
45 total touchdowns last year, leading the nation.
And, and Mendoza was good the year before at Cal. Like, you know, like he was a proven good quarterback. Hoover's put up numbers at TCU, which he probably won't at Indiana because they'll run the ball more. But he also, I mean, Sonny Dykes, after he left, was like, yeah, he turned the ball over a little too much. Like, your coach on the way out being like, yeah, this guy had a turnover problem. It'll be on Cignetti. You know, maybe Cignetti is the Midas touch of this, but it's hard to replicate what Mendoza did. They needed every ounce of it to beat Miami.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Indiana's going to duplicate what they did last year, but I still think they're going to make the playoffs. And honestly, I don't understand this Nebraska thing. Like, what excites you about Nebraska to be like Nebraska's going to upset Indiana? Nebraska hasn't been relevant in exactly
mid-2000s.
Yeah, 2009 Big 12 title game.
Yeah, yeah. And even then, it was just like that 1 year blip, really.
Yeah,
maybe
the
Bo
Pelini years. Yeah,
yeah, but it was just a couple years there, really.
Yeah. I don't think they've. I think they're like 0-20 something against ranked teams.
I'd buy it.
Matt Rule is also 0-whatever.
Yeah, no, I don't buy Nebraska. All right, one more here before we go to the break. From Pete Sampson, USC misses the college football playoff and fires Lincoln Riley, replacing him, an additional hot take here, with Kalen DeBoer, who ushers in a new era of USC football where the Trojans return to national prominence and begin competing for national titles. A long take there. I don't know which part you want to tackle first, boys, but USC misses the playoffs. They fire Lincoln Riley in Alabama. I guess I don't know if they've in this situation fired Kalen DeBoer or if USC's poaching him. But Kalen DeBoer goes to USC and for some reason is able to do there what he wasn't able to do at Alabama, and he competes for national titles on a yearly basis.
Which would be really odd that USC would do that.
I sell this take all the way around. Well, not that Lincoln Riley gets fired. I can see that. If they miss the playoffs.
I just feel like it's almost like a lateral move.
I would
like for USC to hire
Lincoln Riley to get on the board.
But I can see the first part where they miss the playoffs and they do fire Lincoln Riley.
That part's not even a hot take. That's just like probably the favorite at this point.
Especially if they make the playoff, if they miss the playoff. Lincoln Riley is fired.
He's fired, yeah.
And so like it's a take where it's like it slowly gets hotter and hotter, which I really like. I really like this one. I can see, like, again, misses the playoff, yes. Fires Lincoln Riley, sure. That would go with number one. Replaced with Kalen Boer. I can see it because he was in the mix for the Michigan job. He was in the mix for the Penn State job. Like, he is, I don't know, looking to get out, but he is open to leaving Alabama before they fire him. And then ushers in a new era where they're returned to national prominence. Again, it's like national prominence is vague enough to where, like, yeah, if Kalen DeBoer can take this team to the playoff, like, that is national prominence. And then beginning...
Yeah, what is national prominence? Like, routinely in the playoff?
Yeah.
I think that's...
National prominence.
Yeah, you know, I think
it.
So.
Oregon's nationally prominent.
They are nationally prominent.
They haven't won, you know?
That's true. I think that's it. I think that's the line there. All right, ESPN Radio 97.5, Brian, Cam, and Sean. John behind the glass here. Other side of the break, let's talk about the Astros, who pick up another win in New York last night with a 3-1 victory over the Mets. Now two games up over the Rangers in the AL West. Are they back? ESPN Radio 97.5.
Hey, this is Rich Eisen. Coming up on Monday, another preseason is in the books. Who impressed, who did not, and what stood out? We'll preview the Denver Broncos season as well.
The Rich Eisen Show, noon to 3 on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Bellmer, Cam Smith, and Brian McDonald.
All right, welcome back into The Bullpen. Mount Rushmore plus one coming up next segment. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, Sean Mapes, and John Bellmer with you here for another 40 minutes or so here. And if you want to weigh in on this conversation right now on the Astros, or if you want to maybe text in a Mount Rushmore plus one, hit us up, HRMP List Line, 713-780-3776. We had a text in from a listener who, hey, great, my fantasy football team.
Oh.
It's a really good fantasy football team because I think he's drafting in, like, one of those four people leagues because, like...
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, well, I'm making a joke because his team is loaded. Like, put me in this league. His quarterback is Jalen Hurts. His running backs are Gibbs, Hampton, and Jeremiah Love. Nico Collins, Luther Burden, Tyler Warren make up his wide receivers and tight end with Brandon Aubrey as his kicker and the Patriots as his defense. Like, the only way this is possible without your league being fraudulent is if it's like a dynasty league where you've just happened to hit on picks over time and make trades or whatever. But I think you're going to win your league. 5-5-3-5.
It's a good team.
Yeah, invite me to your league, please, because I think I could dominate.
I'll be the fifth participant.
Yeah, exactly. Add me as your fifth. All right, Houston Astros get a 3-1 win last night over the New York Mets. Now back over 500, boys.
Woo!
Hell yeah. That was a much better woo than the woo you had earlier for no felonies for Josh Jacobs.
No felonies.
No felonies. Woo!
This season is a felony.
Back above 500. Woo!
Is that what we're cheering for now?
That's kind of where the bar's been set.
I was going to say that's basically all we can cheer
for. But they're now 68-67 with last night's 3-1 win over the Mets. Two up on the Rangers right now because the Rangers lost to the Brewers. Thank God the Rangers get to face the Brewers to help the Astros out a little bit here. But I think the headline from this one, boys, is vintage Hunter Brown last night. Now, obviously, grain of salt, you know, take it for what it's worth. It's the lowly Mets are one of the worst teams in baseball. That's fair. But Hunter Brown is, as we've talked about over the last couple weeks, not been great since his return from injury. And as of late, like, probably the most problematic part is he couldn't stop walking batters.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, not only goes 6 innings, 10 Ks, and giving up just one run. But I think the thing that I saw in the box score that I liked the most as I was trying to like catch it intermittently during the Lister party last night is only one walk. So, yeah, you take it for what it is because it's a game against the Mets, Sean, but like only one walk, 10 Ks, Hunter Brown, back.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely what
I'm thinking he's back.
It's definitely what people keep asking.
People keep asking.
Every time he has
I think I'm back now.
Six walk performance, people are asking. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, this is something that we talked about, I think, a couple weeks ago. Maybe after his last. No, it was after the Mariners start he had. Where that is the, like, thing that is keeping him from being Hunter Brown. Even, like, the other, like, the hits that he's giving up, it's not as problematic as the walks that he's been giving up. And so going 10 strikeouts, one walk is exactly what we needed to see. Although I will, you know, be a little rain cloud here. He did also have an awesome start against the White Sox, a few weeks ago on a Saturday, where it was another, like, either zero or one walk, and he was just blowing guys light up out.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, you're right there, son.
I just started yawning in the
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, it's like...
But yeah, he just...
And the Hunter Brown stat line bored you.
Yeah, he was just mowing... I mean, it's the White Sox mowing them down. They're another crappy division winner in this fraudulent AL that we have. but the thing is, like, with Hunter Brown, you're always ready for him to, like, snap back into it. And he has done it before. It was one start. I need to see it be, you know, two, three starts, because that's what you need from your ace.
Yeah, you nailed it. July 25th against the White Sox, seven innings, just two hits allowed, seven Ks. So, yeah, and then obviously we know what happened kind of in the interim.
Yeah.
Three runs allowed against Toronto, three against San Francisco, and we know all the walks and stuff, even like five innings, because you look at the three starts before last night. He goes 6 2/3 last night. The three starts before that, 5 2/3, 5-5, a 6 against Toronto, and then 5 2/3 against Texas. Like, he wasn't making it out of the fifth inning because he was walking so many hitters and, like, running up his pitch count. So,
I mean, his pitch count was still high. It was like 103, which is pretty.
He almost got you seven. Like, I'll take 103 if you could get me through seven. Like, that was fine.
I'll take it, and I love his performance, but I need to see more. Like, I feel like he's literally what the Astros are teasing. Couple wins. You think that they're going to do something, and then they lose a couple games, and they're back to, like, 500. So, like, I feel like he's literally...
Well, good for them, because I think they could win this division with 83 wins.
I mean, they just basically have to play 500 ball and hope the Braves don't...
They're one game above 500 now, and they got a two-game lead with a tiebreaker.
Yeah. I was going to say, you need to play 500 ball. The Rangers need to play three games over 500 ball.
Yeah.
Congratulations. It's like the AFC South of 5 years ago, where all you need to do is win nine games to win.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Brian. AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
You're right.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what it looked like.
Division title is a division title.
Happy to be in the playoffs.
You remember that entire drop.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
You even got that part right.
I've heard it.
Well done, Josh.
1,000 times.
So the other bit of Astros news besides the front office, because there's plenty of time in the offseason to talk about the front office, and I don't want to get bogged down into that right now. But Carlos Correa, well, I would not say he could be nearing a return, but the report said he could return in September. I was like, okay, well, is that September 1st? Which, hey, that's really soon. Or is that September 28th when the season's ending? And they're potentially out of the playoffs. So there's still a wide range of possibilities within that report of Carlos Correa's return. I have started to lean towards the side of, I do think he returns with, you know, a couple weeks before the playoffs. That's my current guess, which is crazy. After, you know, they told us in May he was going to be out for the year. But, like, when he fits back, like, how do you guys feel about how he fits back into the team? Like, he's going to have to, I mean, even putting aside the idea, is like, well, is he going to have time for a rehab assignment? Because the AAA season is going to be closing up pretty soon. Like, how does he return to play with seeing live pitching for the, you know, first time since May? But, like, I mean, I like Isak at third. I mean, I guess the answer is maybe move Isak to first, Correa plays third, and Christian Walker sits the bench. But he's got a really good glove. So, like, unless you're willing to play Yordan and left every day, or maybe give Altuve some starts and left, which he hasn't had this year, like, how do you see this fitting together, Sean, with Correa's possible return and, like, the infield surplus that Chandler Rome told us about once upon a time?
I was going to say, this is sounding very untenable, Brian. This is sounding very
Chandler Rome vindicated.
Never wrong, just early. Yeah, I think it's something that, obviously, with the state of the lineup that the Astros are rolling out there, like, you just need to find a way to put them in line. Whether that is, you know, when they play at home, I think the way to do it is Yordan plays left.
DH, oh yeah, that part's easier. I think it becomes difficult when they're on the road in some of these bigger outfields.
And the last six games of the season, they have two against the Mariners in Seattle, two against the Athletics. So or four against the Athletics for the final six games. Which, you know, if we're talking about a comeback, I know he's playing the last six games.
Oh,
if not, we're like, stop talking about it immediately.
Yeah.
So that is what makes it tough. There's not even really a long, very long homestand before that. And they play, they play the Trop, and then they play six home games, and then the six that I read off there at the end. So it will be tough. It might be something where it is Christian Walker. It might be like splits-based kind of situation with Walker. I also don't know if Correa can play the field. Like,
that's going to be, I think, the biggest question. Like, if he can only DH, it does actually become untenable at that point.
Yeah. Because
we haven't even talked about the idea that, well, like, we got to find a bat for Yonder Diaz because he's actually been hitting pretty well, but you still want Christian Vasquez in there because he's a better receiver. He's a better, you know, ally for the pitchers. But, like, fitting all these pieces together with Yordan needing to play DH, Correa maybe need to play DH, try to get Yonder Diaz's bat in the lineup. Like, it starts to become pretty, like, a puzzle that's, I'm not going to say the word, it's a difficult puzzle to put together.
I feel, you know, the odd thing
is saying the word.
Can you tin it?
I feel like earlier.
This is not a movie. This is not a movie from Christopher Nolan. No, it's not a Tenet.
Oh.
That was a bad joke. I'm sorry.
No, that's not
it was a good movie, though.
It was,
I just, like.
Christopher Nolan's worst.
I feel like this is an odd situation. I feel like we're throwing these names around, and like anybody would be like, "Oh my God, what a luxury of names of who to start."
But
now it's like an actual
2026.
But none of them can credibly play left field.
And yeah,
that is the big problem.
Yeah,
Yordan not good in left. Altuve not good in left.
Yeah. Like people are like, "Oh, you guys are." I was about to say a cuss word. You guys are tripping over Yordan and Correa, like. We would love to have those guys on the team, but we're over here like, well, damn it. Like, where do they play? Who do we start?
Well, I mean, this is an offense that struggled quite a bit. Like, they do have to find a way to get literally any bat they possibly can in the lineup. It's just a really difficult puzzle to put together when, to Sean's point, they have no one that can play left.
Yordan at
first.
And
also hit.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
on the road. On the road. There's the extra little.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, maybe it's a situation where it's the, you know, last handful of games of the season. Like, we want to be, you know, very careful. Yordan, it's all about, you know, sustainability, getting them to the last, you know, getting to the end of the season, the postseason. Maybe you ramp up the risk just a little bit the last six games of the season if you're in a fight for this division of, like, yes, in the abstract.
We chase the fight.
Exactly. If you're still chasing it, or the Rangers still chasing you. You like in the abstract, you don't want them playing left field on the road, but it's like if it's the last six games of the season, like,
and
it's,
yeah, and it's you a, throw anything you,
you
can
just
against
put
the
them
ball.
Out there.
Like, I think the answer might have to be, and I don't love it, but you know, it is what it is. Like, and I actually don't think it would happen because I've had plenty of opportunities to do it earlier this season and they've chosen not to. But if Altuve plays left, then you could have Correa at third, Paredes could play second, Walker at first, and Yordan's your DH. Now, you still have to find room for Yonder Diaz in the lineup, so maybe that's the part that's still problematic to figure out. But there is a way, if Altuve plays left, to basically have your only question being, like, who catches?
You know, there would be no question if we had just kept Mauricio Dubon.
Yeah, speaking of which, Atlanta's coming up on the schedule. I don't know if you guys...
He's killing it in Atlanta, too.
Look, they're chasing the fight. They're two up. I don't think Texas is going to take it from them, but this schedule in September is brutal. Like, so after, and we'll go to break here after this, but like the schedule coming up after this Mets series, they have four against the White Sox, who are a playoff team, three against the Diamondbacks, a playoff team, three at Philly, playoff team, three at Tampa, the best team in the American League, short break against the Royals, three against Atlanta, one of the best teams in the National League, two at Seattle. Who's not a great team, but has kicked your ass this season, and then they finished with four at the Athletics. Like,
who also recently
kicked your ass. Like, if the Astros get through that with a winning record, I think that is actually a sign that they've improved as a team. But there's still a lot of
they would be built for this.
They would be built. Oh, going back to last year, I love it. All right, ESPN Radio 97.5, Brian, Cam, Sean, and John as they put some space between the names. Mount Rushmore plus one on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore plus one.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. Welcome into Mount Rushmore plus one, the award-winning, game-changing segment that's forever changed the sports radio landscape in Houston, in Texas, in America, Sean, worldwide. And we'll get myself, John Belmer, Sean Mapes, Cam Smith, RJ Saunders, because I don't forget my history, Sean, Andrew Carlson, Josh Evans, and a host of others into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame, Joe George, AJ Russ, in far less than the 27 years it took those bums, John and Lance.
Colton, shut up, you stupid ass. Shut up, you dummy.
Colton did do one. It was a very good list, too.
He only won
because he's leaving. He took another job.
Yeah.
He out of here. But it's a very good list. So, yeah. Colton,
don't forget him.
Yeah, Colton.
You remember your history.
I remember my history. Sean doesn't. He's doomed to repeat it.
Who just remembered Colton?
That's true.
Who?
But is 3 weeks ago really history?
Yeah, I mean, he only did one.
All right, then it's time for Mount Rushmore plus one. Cameron.
Hello.
Would you like to lead off, sir?
Sure. So, RIP to my dog, Tim Curry.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't mean to laugh. Wait, did he name his dog Camp Tim Curry? Because there was a couple weeks ago when you were late because your dog was puking all over the place. So I was like, oh my God, his dog died. And he died and he named it Tim Curry. And I was like, oh, wait, no, Tim Curry just actually died. Cam is hurting now.
No, my dog's name is Calypso.
Okay.
My real dog.
Okay.
God.
Are you going to be able to finish? Are you going to be able to do this list? What'd you hit your knee on?
There's the thing.
Back. I'm not even that tall, so I don't know how I'm nailing my... Nope, not going to finish that sentence. Anyways.
R.I.P. Tim Curry.
R.I.P. Yeah. Tim Curry. So,
Cam's dog.
Cam will be there very soon.
Damn.
By the end of the segment, you'll hit your knee enough times.
Oh, my God.
I believe that multiple times the show.
Yeah. Three times.
Yeah.
Third time is not the charm. So... Favorite Tim Curry movies.
Oh, okay.
And he's been in a lot.
He has been
in some of them, you would be surprised that I think he was in. So, I hate clowns, but...
Shout out to Pennywise.
No, not shout out to Pennywise.
Shout out.
And yeah, no, take that shout out back.
Sean and I, we shout you out, Pennywise.
I don't.
Doing the Lord's work.
I don't. The Lord's... Wait.
Excuse me?
The Lord's work?
Hey. Murdering children?
What movie did you watch?
Some kids suck. That's all I'm saying.
You know
what?
All right. Kids were Father murdered in the Bible, so... It.
Hey, a little tip for the kids. Clown talks to you from the sewer. Don't go in there. Yeah, stay away.
That was the thing to take away from the movie.
Yeah, it was the big takeaway.
Yeah,
a little Stranger Danger.
What an idiot, those kids. I mean, who does that?
You don't need your paper boat back that badly, George.
Just make another one. It's paper.
Yeah. So I guess really R.I.P. George.
Yeah.
Well,
him too.
Well, that's what he gets.
Lost his arm.
He
30 years ago.
Also,
it was 30
years ago when they remade it.
Well, that too.
Yeah. Anyway,
they did.
Next movie.
It. Okay. So yes. It. Rocky Horror Picture Show. Mm-hmm. Classic.
That's not one I've never seen.
Not the newer one. I'm talking like the 1980s.
No, my wife loves that movie. I know it's a cult classic, but that's one I've never seen.
It might have been the 70s, actually.
I think it was 70s.
Yeah, I think it was like mid-70s.
75.
Boom.
Damn. Okay. Muppet Treasure Island.
Yeah. There we go.
Hell yeah.
That's what got you shown.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That's a really good movie.
Yeah, there's
that
two.
That is a really good
there's
movie,
There's two
that
play in the movie.
He plays the...
He's a pirate.
Guy. Yeah, the main guy.
He's a pirate.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's actually... Yeah,
low key, not the main guy, but...
Low key, I might watch that movie tonight.
All right.
Yeah. It's a good one. he Scary Movie 2. He didn't have a big part, but actually no. He did have a big part in Scary Movie 2. He was the scientist, but maybe I'm thinking that movie just more because of the guy with the hand.
Yeah.
But
it's a great movie.
It was still a Tim Curry movie, so that
he's
one
in that movie, yes.
Oh crap. Oh, Home Alone. Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's say because he's not in the first one.
Didn't play a big part, but he played enough of a part to where Home Alone, I think that movie would be different if he wasn't the Oscar. Yeah. Well, we can say that on there.
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, I didn't.
Not the second part of the word.
No, you cut yourself off a time where we're okay, but you cannot complete that.
He did play a butthead.
There you go.
But
much better.
He needed to be in that movie to make that movie. So, yeah. Again, RIP Tim Curry.
Shout out
crazy
to your dog.
Dolly Parton and Tim Curry in one week.
They come in threes, so look out other celebrities.
That's
maybe stay indoors this week.
I'm sorry. They do what in threes?
They die in threes.
Oh,
you never heard that?
That's not what you said at first.
What did I say?
They come in threes.
Oh. The deaths, you know what I meant. Of all people to go. Yeah, I know. That's fair. Okay.
Shout out to The Hunt for Red October. Another great movie.
Ooh.
That was one. That and The Muppet Treasure Island. I was like, he has to have those two on his list.
Oh,
was,
so you're a little disappointed at the...
was that Pierce Brosnan or Sean Connery?
That was Sean Connery.
That was Sean Connery and Alec Baldwin.
The Sexiest Man Alive.
Sean Connery?
He was awarded that. Oh.
Irish Cam checking back in. Wow. All right, my Mount Rushmore plus one. Struggled a little bit on how to like phrase this, but football things I could use either way. As in, I will make arguments depending on if it suits my needs.
Yeah.
Either side of this.
Okay.
Because I'm completely disingenuous as long as it helps me win the argument, right? Okay, so you kind of get what I mean
here. It's something that you hand wave when it doesn't tell you what you want, but you will...
I point to it as like a fact when it helps make my case. All right. First one on the list. Efficiency stats, like yards per carry or completion percentage. It's one of those things where maybe the yards per carry is a little low, but you know, he's getting a lot of third and ones. He's getting a lot of goal line carries.
And
everyone knows he's running it. Or I could call him a bum because he's only averaging 4.1.
It's the Joe Mixon 2024 best 4.1 yards per carry I've ever seen.
I can make that argument either way. Next on the list, you know, they made the playoffs, but this team is barely above 500 under 500. Like the Seahawks when they were 7-9. Like that's that's one I could argue with. Like Carolina Panthers, their playoff team last year. Or... Yeah, but it was 8-9.
Yeah,
it was the NFC
good.
South. They're not good. Like that's one I could easily argue other way.
Was the 7-9 Seahawks? Was that when Marshawn had that incredible run
against Seattle?
Oh my God! What an orgasmic run! Like just made the whole.
Why did you have to describe it that way?
Was it not?
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
No.
I did not orgasm. That did not bring me to completion watching that run.
It's too late.
He said that did not bring me completion.
Was it not? No, it wasn't. It was a cool highlight.
Cam's trying to make every week. It feels like Cam's trying to make this the last show we ever do.
No, we won't get in the Hall of Fame.
Every segment today.
Yeah,
we will not get in the Hall of Fame if that happens.
Oh my God! All right, Mount Rushmore plus one of football things. I can argue either way. A strength of schedule.
Yeah.
You know, it's either, they just play who's on the schedule. Like, they can't control. The Patriots didn't pick out their own schedule. Or they're bums because they didn't beat anybody.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of, strength of schedule, you know, it doesn't make a huge difference. Because it really is only three games difference, in your division.
Yeah.
It's it's only the three games and then one, where you played the other conference. Like, it doesn't make that big of a difference team to team in the same division, or they're a bum.
They're frauds. They didn't play anybody. Especially in college football, too, you could do that what their ranking was at the time that they played.
They nine ranked wins.
Hey, A&M won at a ranked LSU. Oh, or I could argue LSU was frauds the entire time. That win means nothing, right? Yeah. Two more on the list. You know, that quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, he's a winner. I pointed that quarterback. Hey, wins are quarterback stat. Wins a quarterback stat. Derek Carr, winner.
What did he win?
Well, that one season.
He won a game.
When he got hurt and didn't get to play against the Texans in the playoffs.
Connor Cook, not a winner.
Not a winner.
Who's the worst quarterback that you're like, that guy's a winner?
That I've ever said it about?
Yeah. It could be Kern.
Kyle Trask.
He was never a winner.
At Florida.
I think Jimmy Garoppolo is the perfect, he's a winner. Hey, you got... They're up 10 points in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback. No, he's not actually a good quarterback. He's a bum. But people do that all the time where they point to a quarterback's record.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
I remember that being actually, like an actual argument when Lamar Jackson was kind of doing the holdout thing about contract. People's like, what has he ever won? Look at Jimmy Garoppolo. He got his team to the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, that's a team sport. One more here on the list. Football things I can argue either way. Running back or receiver getting to 1,000 yards. Like, Stephon Diggs, he was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. Or I could say, it's only like 65 yards a game. It doesn't actually mean anything.
Yeah.
But those are football things I could argue either way.
I like that. I also like is like turnover regression.
Oh,
you
know,
like all the like the Bill Barnwell, like here are the teams that will regress, and it's just like who had a lot of turnovers last year and who didn't, or injury luck. It's like always that. Yeah.
All right. John Belmer has got a Mount Rushmore plus one for us that Cam won't hear. But it's going to be a little bit of a unique one because he only has four. And Sean and I are going to try to add to it with a fifth nomination before he even tells us the topic.
Mm-hmm.
And then John will reveal what the topic is, and we'll see if this Mad Libs into something funny. Sean, what is your fifth one for John Belmer's unnamed Mount Rushmore plus one?
Chick-fil-A chicken and waffles.
Limited time sandwich.
Okay. Cam, you went to go get headphones and didn't bring back headphones?
Yeah, he went to go get headphones. He doesn't actually have them. So I stand by my two radio professionals.
Okay.
At this table.
Wow.
My nomination for your fifth one is a pink sombrero.
Okay. All right. This one is silly. I'll move quick. We're running out of time, but this one's a little like yours, tough to explain. I'm going to do my best. Mount Rushmore plus one of wrong answers only. For reasons why 49ers owner Jed York was trying to get a hooker at a trailer park in Ohio.
Okay.
Chicken and waffle sandwich. I think we nailed it.
He's trying to get the chicken and waffle sandwich.
He's having to save money because he wants to go buy a chicken and waffle sandwich.
Is that what it is?
Or he wants someone to...
We're definitely talking about the 49ers owner, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Context clues.
All right.
Cam's having to try to read John's list.
The only He's trying to read my mouth right now who doesn't know what John's saying.
Right? Someone looking right at John.
Everyone else, us know what he's saying. The people listening can hear him. Cam is the only one who can't hear him.
I'm going to move over here so Cam can't see my...
Yeah. Or do it like a...
there you go. No, that's a That's a red card in soccer, yeah. Number four. This is wrong answers only for why Jed York was trying to get a hooker at a trailer park in Ohio. He was trying to find affordable tight ends due to 49ers injuries.
I mean, Cam, that was an amazing joke.
I didn't know you'd go this way.
Well done, John. I mean, Cam loves it the most right now, but well done.
Number three, this was his punishment for coming in last place in his fantasy league last year.
It's a fantasy football punishment.
Yeah, you got to search for a hooker at a trailer park in
Apparently
Ohio.
Apparently the cheapest one you can find.
Yeah.
I've spent more on the fantasy football league this year than Jed York spent on a hooker.
Yeah. League dues being $150
I spent $200 on a fantasy league this year. He spent $140 on a woman of the afternoon. Not even a woman of the night. A woman of the afternoon in a trailer park.
A professional, yeah.
Anyway.
She is a professional.
Probably semi-pro.
Semi-pro.
Independent contract.
Yeah. There you go.
Like
did she file her
T9? She doesn't have a W-2. Yeah.
She's 1099.
WWE superstars. They're independent contractors.
Hope she's saving money for taxes. Number two, he was referred by his boy Deshaun over in Cleveland.
Oh.
What's Deshaun ever done to you? Low blow.
Well, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
$140.
Not to defend Deshaun Watson, but I think he spent more than $140 on these projects.
Probably.
And this last one's my favorite one. He thought he was meeting with Hendon Hooker.
He was scouting.
He thought he was meeting with Hendon Hooker.
That's pretty good, John.
Yeah.
This actually, even though you didn't have a fifth one, John, this might have been your best Mount Rushmore Pulse one.
Oh, well, thank you.
That was pretty good.
I appreciate it.
Cam, your thoughts.
Amazing.
Yes.
I loved every word.
You have to listen to the podcast to hear what he said.
I mean, not to call Cam out even further, but there's actually headphones like two studios over.
I was just about to say,
thank you for informing me at 10:50.
All right, Sean, main event this.
This Mount Rushmore is a Mount Rushmore plus one of shows I've watched completely passively. By meaning, I don't think I've ever chosen to watch the show. I've just seen them because they're on. Because they're on TV.
So like hotel shows?
Hotel shows. A lot of these are cable or syndication type shows. Again, you'll know what. Dirty Jobs.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of episodes of Mike Rowe's Dirty Jobs. I don't know if I've ever been like clicking on Dirty Jobs. It's just kind of on when you turn on your TV sometimes. Law and Order SVU, another one where
Cam watches it on purpose.
Yes, but
intentionally.
I've never gone to Peacock and, yep, season 28. Let's get it cracking.
26, actually.
Oh, really?
Just actually about him for Law and Order.
I'm a SVU guy. What can I say? I love Olivia Benson.
Yep.
Who?
Olivia Benson.
The detective.
The detective.
I've never watched the show.
She's a big sports fan, too, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a Knicks fan.
Cool. Yeah.
She was at all the Knicks games.
Oh, that's that lady. Okay.
Yeah. Put some respect on her.
She was that one famous lady at all the Knicks games.
I mean, I noticed Tina Fey. I didn't notice her.
Anyway. Not her. Everyone Loves Raymond. I couldn't even tell you what channel it originally aired.
CBS. I was gonna say my mom actually loves that show.
I don't know, but I've seen it on TBS a lot.
That was a show growing up. That was that show for me. Like yes. I never went into my living room when I was living with my parents back then. Like it turned on Everyone Loves Raymond, but I saw a lot of episodes.
Yes.
They had on Everyone.
I didn't
want to
use two spots on these type of show. Or I guess I end up.
I think they made a spinoff with the brother.
Brad Garrett?
Yeah, I think he had his own show for one season.
I know he definitely got his own show, but I don't remember if it was actually a spinoff or not.
Oh, yeah. What was it? It was like Life of Brad or something. It was something like that. Yeah,
it was something very similar to Everybody Loves Raymond.
Really weird that I remember that. King of Queens, Raymond. Another one like that.
That one I've seen very little of.
Never actually watched King. I know he was a mailman and had a hot wife. That's all I really
see. That is literally the show.
Costanza's dad's in it.
Yeah, and hijinks ensue. Yeah. Given that. 2 and a Half Men. I've probably seen hours upon hours upon hours of 2 and a Half Men.
It was always on FX.
Always on FX.
It's always on FX.
Always on FX. This is basically like I had FX and USA and TBS growing up. This is basically what
they should have stopped that when they brought Ashton Kutcher on. That killed it.
I've even seen those episodes. Like
when
Charlie Sheen had to leave the show for, you know.
Medical reasons.
Yeah,
medical reasons.
Yeah.
And last, but certainly not least, and this is like, I am just saying that I had the channel MTV growing up, Ridiculousness.
Oh.
I've seen so much Ridiculousness.
Still going.
Someone posted a photo the other day of MTV's lineup on Sunday, 20 years ago, or for the full week. And literally, 80% of a full week's calendar for MTV was Ridiculousness.
Yeah. That's all they have now.
It was Teen Mom for 2 hours, rest of the day, Ridiculousness. Yeah. Some other reality show for 2 hours and the next day, then nothing but Ridiculousness.
But it was so entertaining watching Rob make fun of Chanel West Coast.
I know. That's the thing. It is a funny show.
It's a funny show.
It's a funny show.
All right, it's time to... get into the worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week to finish off the show here. We'll have to be a little bit quick. Worst person in sports for me was the fact that I spent more money on a fantasy league than Jed York spent on a hooker. But also the dude that built women out of 1.3 million by pretending to be a 49ers player. Do you guys see this story?
Yeah.
I think the highlight of this for me was – he's got all these Instagram photos of him holding a 49ers helmet. He had a cake made with his number on it and trying to fit. And then the piece de resistance for me was him posting a video of him running routes on the beach.
And he found,
and he does not look like a receiver.
It's also he found the worst quarterback he could find to throw him the ball.
Lobbed it.
And the fact that he's in swim trunks. No, obviously no shirt or shoes or anything. And they're wearing a 49ers helmet. It's look, I really am with the 49ers. I'm wearing a 49ers helmet on the beach. So that's my worst person in sports. Cam?
He might be my worst, but he might be my favorite. It's got to be the 49ers owner. I hate the fact that he got caught. So that's the worst part. But I do respect that
he gets the law unless you get caught.
Yeah, I respect that he was humble enough to give a lady of the afternoon.
He's just trying to stimulate the economy.
That's exactly my thinking.
That's what he's doing.
That's exactly my thinking.
John, what is
he was helping the middle class.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Stimulating something, all right.
Trying to give back to the community.
Way to keep that, take that lowbrow, Sean. I was trying to keep it.
You missed the low blow joke from earlier. My worst person in sports is TCU for banning the Star Telegram in Fort Worth and pulling their credentials for the reporting of the locker room assault that they had earlier, where I think it was a DB beat up a wide receiver. I could have that flip.
No, it was a DB transfer that beat the hell out of TCU's best wide receiver.
Yes, worst person
They're
in
just
sports.
Getting ready for Ireland. A lot of drunken fights.
Yeah, and Kansas State, they had Avery Johnson's dad and brother got into a fight.
That's right, last year, they're just getting ready for Ireland. John, who's your worst person?
Yeah, I don't know if y'all seen the new Juski skit.
I saw the first part of it, yeah.
I usually like his skits, but this one just is in my worst because it wasn't realistic enough to be funny. He played, you see, Juski's a heavy guy. I'm fat, so I can say he's fat. He played a running back in the thing and got knocked out. Nobody believes. I don't care if you put on fake abs.
Should have been a guard.
You're not
he
a running back. No, no, do it how you meant to do it.
D-tackle.
And do be a quarterback because that was supposed to be Tua, obviously. Just be a quarterback in the skit. Be a little funny.
And he goes crazy, right? That's because I saw some people pearl clutching over, like, oh my God,
that's what
questions.
That's why I like
it. It's a skit.
That's why, he makes fun of everyone. It's your turn. That's why I like that John's worst person isn't that it's insensitive to CTE.
Right.
It's that he's fat and should play a different position.
Yes, exactly.
That is the worst person. You're not. It's not Pearl Clutch.
That is well done, John. That's right. You went after the right wrongdoer in this situation. It's Juski setting unrealistic expectations for himself and his athletic career. All right, it's time to stop swimming with the Angry Sharks. Finish off with what we love from sports this week. What I love from sports this week, also talking about fat guys, Ball State named a 5'10", 250-pound guy named Keldrick Luster, their starting quarterback this year. So, shout out to the big boys. We got a 250-pound, I don't know, he's not quite hefty lefty, Jared Lorenzen, but we got
RIP too.
Yeah, RIP too. But
Kentucky.
We got a hefty guy out there throwing the rock around at Ball State. What'd you love, Cam?
I just love the fact that college football's back.
Cam? Or Sean?
I am not named Cam. I loved that the...
There's no way to know.
That the Fort Worth Star Telegram that was banned from TCU's locker room.
You're going both sides of this.
I like that it was founded by Eamon G. Carter, whose name is on TCU Stadium. So they banned the newspaper that was founded by the guy whose stadium is, or who their stadium is named after.
John?
I love it. Mine is a Little League World Series kid who put his dream job down as retirement. He gets it.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Right there with you.
Yeah. Right there with you, brother. 5 o'clock somewhere, too. All right. For John behind the glass, for Sean, for Cam, I'm Brian McDonald. Have a great week in Houston. We'll be back on the air next week. Peace.